Welcome to God and Country Radio, weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Before the Babylonian invasion of Israel in 600 BC, during the days of Israel's immorality and religious apostasy, the prophet Jeremiah writes about the lies that prevailed in the land of Judah. Among the many texts describing this phenomenon, Jeremiah chapter 9 is the predominant text. Let me read this to you so you can get a sense of Jeremiah's concern. Jeremiah 9:3, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. Do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will refine them and assay them. For what else can I do because of the daughters of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. They speak deceit. With their mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? Well, notice in the text the continual reference to the sin described in the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 3, lies, not truth, prevail in the land, meaning that lies are more popular and more dominant than the truth. Verse 4, every brother deals craftily. Verse 5, everyone deceives his neighbor and doesn't speak the truth. They have educated themselves to speak lies. So this is sophisticated deception, sophisticated excuses. Verse 6, their dwelling place is deceit. Verse 8, their tongues speak deceit. Well, did you ever wonder what it must have looked like? Were these typical business lies, the padding of resumes, personal boasting, signing contracts and not fulfilling them? Were these lies concerning adulterous affairs? Well, those kind of lies were certainly in the mix. But given the overall emphasis of the book of Jeremiah, I've always considered Jeremiah's concern to be ideological lies. Lies such as Baal worship is just as valid as Jehovah worship. Lies such as we're good people and God approves of us, and that our future will be prosperity and blessing, not judgment. As in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12, they have lied about the Lord and said, not he, misfortune will not come upon us, and we will not see sword and famine. Jeremiah chapter 23 also gives us some insights into the lies Jeremiah was referring to. Jeremiah said about the prophets in his day, which would be equivalent to our modern day pundits, that they walk in falsehood, verse 14, and that they strengthen the hands of evildoers by justifying sin. These lies were justifying immorality and greed and abortion and homosexuality. Verse 14, all of them have become to me like Sodom and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Jeremiah 23:16, these social leaders are leading the people into futility. Verse 17, they're saying to those who violate God's law, all is going to be well. Calamity will not come upon you. In other words, breaking God's law doesn't have negative consequences. And verse 26, they prophesy the deception of their own heart. Like Jesus said in John chapter 7, they speak from themselves. So here's a question. Are you able to discern the ideological lies in our culture? The more you grow in the faith, the more you'll be able to discern the lies. My 8-year-old grandson certainly wouldn't be able to discern the lies in our culture. He probably doesn't even know what the word ideology means. I was just thinking the other day about how much he needs to grow and learn over the next 10 years. But there are people who are 40, 50 years old who still can't discern lies. Now, these lies in our culture are mostly political in nature because politics is simply the social practice of our cultural beliefs. So today, just like in ancient Israel, in her apostasy, lies prevail in our land. And we should be able to discern them. The vast majority of people are duped by the media, but Christians who are of the truth should know otherwise. Now, last week, the vice presidents had their debate. The Republican candidate, J.D. Vance, debated Tim Walz, the Democrat candidate. And the whole debate was one lie after another. Even the questions framed by the moderators were lies. Even J.D. Vance didn't tell the truth about many of the issues the moderators brought up concerning the abortion question, concerning inflation, concerning immigration, concerning childcare. J.D. Vance was not about to explain that abortion is the murder of an innocent life. It's not women's health care. And he wasn't about to explain that inflation is because the government is spending 30% more than it receives in taxes. And the only solution to inflation is to cut government employees and government entitlements. And Vance wasn't willing to explain that the Democrats are deliberately opening the border to turn Republican states into Democrat states. And that the Biden border bill was a Democrat ploy. It was a bill to hire more border agents, not to prevent illegal immigration, but to help facilitate and process more illegal immigrants. And we don't have a child care crisis. We have a divorce and a single parent crisis. The whole time, Vance was just being a politician, carefully selecting his words so as not to upset any segment of the voting public. And this was certainly his strategy. The goal was to give the impression that Vance was not weird, but a thoughtful, nice guy. But if you tell the truth, the media is going to grab onto your words and paint you as an extremist, a hate monger, a conspiracy theorist. George Orwell once wrote, "Truth is treason in an empire of lies." And he also said it this way, "In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." And he was referring to the Soviet Union in his day, where to tell the truth about the poverty and corruption in the communist government would put you in the gulag. Besides, the people wanted to believe the lie. They wanted the lie of the godless political system to be the truth. And the elite leaders and their followers wanted their ideology confirmed and reinforced. It was the lie the people wanted to hear, and it's the lie people today want to hear. Because the people and the whole system is corrupt. And anyone who tells the truth is immediately canceled by the culture. And even the voting public dislikes any leader who is willing to be the disciplined parent. They want the politicians to be the permissive parent who gives them everything they want and tells them everything they want to hear, you know, even though the country is bankrupt. Now, both parties are doing this. Not only Trump, but also Kamala Harris. The Wall Street Journal had a legitimate article on this entitled "Harris and Trump's Proposals Add to Soaring Federal Deficits," where Trump is trying to entice voters by proposing no federal income tax on Social Security benefits, no tax on overtime pay, no tax on tips in the hospitality industry, and a further drop in corporate income tax. Now, Harris is trying to entice voters with giving people $25,000 to buy their first home, a $6,000 a year credit for families to help pay for childcare, not a tax deduction, but a check for $6,000. She also says she'll force companies to extend paid leave for families having children. And there's the forgiveness of all student loans. So both parties will add an additional $5 trillion to the national debt in their upcoming term. And neither party is talking about actually balancing the federal budget so that the government doesn't continue to print money and drive up inflation. Now, both parties are appealing to different constituencies, but it's the same lie that we can maintain the same size of government and increase government entitlements and tax breaks without going bankrupt. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12, misfortune will not come upon us, we will not see famine. The article went on to explain that politicians can't talk about fiscal discipline and expect to get elected. Quote, no president in history gets a prize for reining in spending, for reining in the deficit or the debt. As Congressman Arrington of Texas said, nobody gets the golden meat cleaver award. Why? Lies, not truth, prevail in the land. People don't want to hear the truth because they're greedy. The public is greedy. The politicians are greedy. And the bureaucrats are greedy because they want the power that comes with more money to hand out to the people, because that's the only thing bureaucrats do to justify their existence, the redistribution of wealth. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. Now, one would imagine that when J.D. Vance was asked about the economy and inflation, he would have explained all this, at least the need to cut government. But there are 30 million people working for government, and he was not about to scare off those voters. Now, some would say he didn't have the time to explain the truth, but no, it's pretty evident that he was walking on eggshells, trying not to offend any group, trying to simply leave the debate with a positive image. Rather than traditionally, the vice president plays the role of bad cop and says the hard things so that the president doesn't have to say them. But now, even in our culture, the vice presidents are not telling the truth. Because in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Well, if the politicians won't tell the truth and the media won't tell the truth because they want to sell papers and ad time, then who's going to tell the truth? It's left up to the churches. But who attends church these days? And now many churches have accommodated to whatever is popular in the culture. There are many evangelical churches that will never touch on certain controversial subjects because they want to keep the people coming. You know, just like politicians want to keep people voting for them by not revealing the whole truth. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority. My people love it so, but what will you do in the end of it? Isaiah chapter 30, they say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what's right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. But for a nation to be saved, our leaders need to start telling the truth. And the first civic leader to start telling the truth will take the heat for it. He'll be canceled by the culture. But it's really the only way to move the Overton window and normalize truth. For example, the first politician who will return to the anti-abortion language we used to have in this country 20 years ago, that abortion is the murder of innocent life, that politician will enrage the public. And he'll probably never get elected because the pro-aborts now make up over 50% of the population. But in the long term, that politician is the one who's going to change the culture for good. And I believe that's the point Solomon is making in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom, yet no one remembered the poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, and the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded, yet the words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Now, in this debate, J.D. Vance was asked about how he changed his previous position on having a national 15-week ban on abortion. Vance said, in the state of Ohio, we had an abortion referendum. And the people of Ohio voted overwhelmingly against my position. And what I learned from that is that we've got to do a better job at winning back people's trust. So many young women see an unplanned pregnancy as something that's going to destroy their livelihood, destroy their education, destroy their relationships. And we have to earn people's trust back. And that's why Donald Trump and I are committed to pursuing pro-family policies, making childcare more accessible, making fertility treatments more accessible, because we got to do a better job at that. And that's what real leadership is, unquote. So Vance's answer was that of a weasel politician. He could have simply said that he believes abortion is a moral evil and we have to take steps to gradually make it culturally unacceptable. But instead, he said he changed his position because of the popular vote. I'm glad Abraham Lincoln didn't do this when it came to abolishing slavery. But notice Vance also interjected a comment about informing the public. He understands that conservatives are not doing a very good job educating the public concerning the evils of infanticide. J.D. Vance believes conservatives need to first win the culture if they're ever to pass pro-life laws. And my contention is that the way to do this is for conservative politicians, like J.D. Vance himself, to be moral teachers of the public, where conservative politicians convey the shock and the offense of taking an innocent life. How could you even suggest an abortion? This has always been the demise of a country and has always brought the judgment of God down upon a country, the taking of innocent life. And we wouldn't have illegal immigration in America if we had not killed off 50 million of our own children. Abortion was a federal crime in Mexico until 2021. Therefore, the majority of the Mexican population is under 30 years of age. I had an economic professor back in college 35 years ago who predicted Mexico would overrun the United States because this is what always happens. Nations of young people always invade nations of elderly people. And the same thing is happening in Europe. The Muslim nations surrounding Europe are having children, but the Europeans believe the lie of overpopulation. The Muslim nation birth rate is 4.3. The European rate is 1.4. Our illegal immigration problem is really an abortion problem. But nobody's going to tell the truth about that. The debate moderator also asked about the child care crisis in our country. Note that the very premise of the question is wrong, but woe be to the politician who doesn't agree, but instead says there is no child care crisis. There's a crisis in women having babies without being married. There's a crisis with men not supporting their children. There's a crisis in women deciding to go to work rather than dedicating themselves to the work of raising children. And there's a crisis in women having to go out to work to support the family because the government is drawing too much money away from the family in property tax and income tax and sales tax. But again, woe to the politician who tells the truth and correctly defines the crisis. But not only was the crisis not refuted, the solution also went unchallenged. Kamala Harris proposed that the federal government give $6,000 to each family to pay for child care. There are 19 million children under 6 years of age in America. Do the math. There's no way the government can pay to raise everyone's children for them. But nobody wants to hear that truth. And what about those mothers who decide to make the sacrifice and stay at home to raise their children? Shouldn't they also be given the $6,000? Well, I'm sure Democrats would agree, because they believe we all need to pool our money together to do everything. And the government's job is to redistribute the money. As Tim Walz has said, socialism is just being neighborly. And Vance, in his answer, didn't give a pushback against this core false ideology of communism. He simply said that this is a bipartisan issue that we all care about, that Republicans support child care programs, and that President Trump is all for a $5,000 child tax credit. It was a safe answer. He wasn't going to be the bad guy who says, "Are you crazy? Since when should the government be paying people to watch your children?" Because the American people have completely bought into the lie of socialism, that individual costs and responsibility need to be borne by everyone. You know, to speak of individual responsibility is to be considered cruel. Remember, leftists are the permissive parents who give the children whatever they want. Conservatives are the disciplined parents who give the people only what they should have. But guess who unprincipled voters will vote for? The permissive parent, the permissive politician. Compassion today is simply a love for lawlessness and supporting people in their irresponsibility to take the consequences away from what you sow, you shall reap. But again, back to my original premise, someone needs to start telling the truth to the public. Then in the debate, there were all of these lies concerning the war in Israel. At least Vance was able to point out that the Biden administration funded Hamas by removing economic sanctions from Iran. But what was not said, and what could never be said, is that the UN and the United States has kept this conflict in Israel going for the last 50 years. If it weren't for outside countries funding the Palestinian government, the Palestinians and their leaders would have dissolved into the regular Middle East population a long time ago. Western nations are paying for Palestinians to run an alternative government in Israel and to protest the Israelis. In the Vance Wall debate, the moderator also espoused the global warming myth, and Vance said nothing to challenge the premise, but instead simply said, if we want a better environment, we need to bring jobs back to the United States. Quote from the moderator, let's now turn to Hurricane Helene. The storm could become one of the deadliest on record. More than 160 people are dead and hundreds are missing. Scientists say climate change makes these hurricanes larger, stronger, and more deadly. Senator, what responsibility would the Trump administration have to reduce the impact of climate change? But if we lived in a world where truth prevailed, Vance would have cited the report where over 5,000 scientists agreed that the man-made CO2 climate change crisis is a myth. And Vance could have cited many reports that there has been no increase in adverse weather conditions over the last 20 years compared to the previous 20 years. Back in 2009, Al Gore said we have only 5 years until the polar ice caps melt. Never happened. All is fine, and the increase in global temperatures have ceased. Vance could have said climate change is not an existential threat. And everyone is coming to realize that there's a lot of urban myth and hype around the political climate change narrative. And the truth is that climate change has become a way to create a slush fund for Democrat ideologues. It's a corrupt waste of taxpayer money. And more people are discovering the truth. But could J.D. Vance say that? Or would that be political suicide? Well, I believe truth is always the best argument. The public needs to hear the truth, and the truth moves the public. It disarms and embarrasses the opponents, and it changes the whole discussion about climate change. It no longer becomes a given. But if conservatives play into the same narrative of the left, if conservatives agree with the left's premises to win votes or to look mainstream, it always backfires. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26, like a trampled spring in a polluted well, is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. In this political season, we're seeing a lot of trampled springs and polluted wells, all because people love the lie and politicians want the vote. My prayer is that at least God's people, the church, can identify and discern the lies that prevail in our nation. My video version of this program at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition, I'll further discuss this issue. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs and to get all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word of God so you can keep your head straight in these very deceptive days. And may Jesus Christ reign.